Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. And it's such an honor for me always to share the word. I'm going to be sharing the word with you this morning. And for those of you who've been in church for the last 6 or 7 weeks, you'll know that we've been doing a series called The Man Who Changed the Whole World. And I don't know about you, but I thoroughly enjoyed each and every one of the messages that Andre did. And just to zoom into the whole fivefold ministry, we touched on, I'll show you that diagram again, about the pastor and the evangelist. Yvette, you can put that on for me, the diagram, just about the whole fivefold ministry and Jesus that is the center. So how many of you have been in church with us for the last 6, 7 weeks? The majority of you, I suppose. But Andre has preached on the kingdom reign. We touched on the apostolic church, the evangelist, and also the prophet. I had a message on the teacher. And this morning, I'm going to share with you the role of the pastor in the fivefold ministry. Maybe, probably the one that is the closest to my heart, even though all of them are close to both of our hearts. But I think the pastoral gift for me personally is very important, and I'll share with you this morning why it's so special to me. But I remember when Andre and I got married in March 2001, long time ago, he was studying when we got married, and about 2-3 months after we got married, he started working at the church as a youth pastor. And soon after he was appointed at the church, he literally started working 7 days a week, 7 nights a week. It was literally like that, because they were short-staffed, and I was just as a newly married girl. I missed my husband, you know. I was like, no. You know, we had so much peace about him joining the ministry. This is not the way we're doing it anymore, okay? So don't worry about it. It was way back. But I remember one Sunday morning, he was off to a conference in Johannesburg with a few of his pastor's friends. I felt very emotional about not seeing my husband. And then I spotted a pastor. For those of you who've been in Shofar for a while, his name is Pastor William Corizon. He's a real pastor. You know, I spotted him in church. My husband was away for the weekend. And I said to him, can you please pray for me after church? Now, I've never done that before. I've never done that since that day. You know, crying on a pastor's shoulder about not seeing my husband. But that morning, it happened. Because I just spotted this man, and I just knew I must speak to him. I was drawn to something in him that I knew he would be understanding, he would be compassionate. I mean, even though it's so silly, you know, I felt so stupid. You know, I'm missing my husband. Now I'm going to speak to a pastor about this, you know. And he prayed for me, and he released such an amazing understanding and compassion and sympathy for my little problem. I mean, really, you know, it's not the biggest problem in the world if your husband is a bit busy. But I could go to him that morning. As I say, I've never done that since then. I've never done that after that day. But I could go to him with my personal issues and problems, because he was operating in the gift of a pastor. He's a real pastor. And Andre and I served under him in 2006 and 7, about 4 or 5 years after that. He became the pastor at our Shofar Tigerberg Church. We served under him for 2 years when Andre was a student pastor. And I'll be forever thankful for the input and the impartation and the role model that he was to me and Andre in terms of a pastor, in terms of his heart for the sheep, for the people in the church, his generosity, just his ability to make people feel safe, his ability to be a man of integrity, a man of his word, a man that people trust, a man of confidentiality. You know, you can tell him all your stories and to know it's going to be safe. And he made such an impact on our lives. And as I say, I'll be forever thankful for what he imparted to us. Because we learned so much, so many things that we do today as a pastor's couple here, in terms of the pastoral gift we have learned from him. So it's so amazing. So if you, this morning, if you look at the fivefold ministry, if you look at that diagram, and you feel drawn to the pastoral, you have a heart for people, you have a passion to see people flourish, this message is for you. But also for those of you who feel maybe drawn to the others, this message is also for you, because the pastoral gift, it's the foundation, it's the glue that binds everything together. It's a culture that we need to establish in the church, and it's here already, a culture of honor and celebration. It's present in our church, but we trust the Lord for even more, that all of us, whether you are more focused on the prophetic or more focused on being an evangelist, regardless of what your strength is, that all of us will embrace the pastoral gift, where we create a atmosphere in the church where people feel valued, where people feel celebrated, and where they feel honored. So I really pray that as after today, that there will just be a special grace in our church to run with a pastoral gift. So let's just look at a scripture. Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. This is the scripture we've been using throughout all the messages, where Jesus said in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." This is the pastor. This is the part of Jesus that had a pastoral heart. "To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So this morning, we're going to focus on the part where Jesus said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That was the pastor's heart inside of Jesus. If we look at Matthew 9, verse 36, that was again Jesus, where the Bible explains his emotions for people, his love. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were like weary and scattered, and like sheep having no shepherd." They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That was Jesus' heart towards the people. So he didn't only had a ministry, you know, of healing and teaching to make an impression. He was motivated by compassion. Everything he did, everything that was part of his ministry was motivated by compassion for people. That is the pastor's heart. In Psalm 23, we all know this, but it's a Psalm of David where he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul." That is the shepherd. That is Jesus, who is the good shepherd. John 10, verse 11, it was again Jesus speaking. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So Jesus has come into this world to do many things. To show us the whole fivefold ministry that was inside of him, but also to bring healing to broken hearts. And the primary tool that he's using today to heal broken hearts is his church. But not only church, healthy relationships within a church. Both Andre and I can testify that the most healing, like personal inner healing, we've ever experienced was not through counseling sessions, it was not through prayer, it was not through deliverance or any kind of specific ministry that was imparted or done for us. It was by healthy friendships. We went when he was end of his first year, I was end of my second year, we went on a beach outreach in Cape Town. And in December, we just ministered. It's like almost like missions, but you just go to a beach resort and you minister there to the people. You have puppet shows for the kids, and you know it's not so well known in the Eastern Cape, but in the Western Cape, it's very, very well known. And we were a team of about, I don't know, maybe between 12 and 15 people, confused, insecure, not really knowing, you know, if we are cool enough for the rest, you know, that typical feeling for 19, 20-year-old. And after those 2 weeks, we were changed. We were changed purely because we experienced acceptance, we experienced love, we experienced something that gave us so much security. And honestly, many of my personal insecurities just disappeared. It just literally flew away. You know, nobody prayed for me. Nobody, you know, counseled me. I just felt so secured and loved in the team context where people, they accepted me the way I was. You know, they accepted Sonika the way she was. And it changed my life. And today, primarily, the way that God uses the facilitation of healing in us is through authentic community in church. This is why we so always keep on saying we have to be planted. You have to come into a healthy environment where people can show you that we love you. You are okay. You are accepted. You're not only okay, you are awesome. You know, and that is an amazing tool that God uses. So a pastor has a shepherd's heart. A pastor wants to keep the flock together. He wants to make sure that everybody's inside. There's no wolf. Okay, there's lots of wolves, but he wants to make sure that the wolves doesn't get to anyone. That's a pastor's heart. So a pastor would release something over the church because they would look you in the eye. You know those people who look you in the eye when they talk to you and they make you feel like the most important person for those 5 minutes that they talk to you. You can tell them all your stories because you know you just honestly trust that they're not gonna, you know, tell your stories to everybody. You feel safe. You just feel safe. A pastor would release a culture of safety where people will just know that I can be myself. I can just be myself. And, you know, I also believe that the pastoral gift creates an environment for the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, and the teacher to flourish. Now, let me explain this. In a church context, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate, you know, like in a church like ours, like there's 9 gifts, for those of you who don't know, there's 9 fruit of the Spirit, but there's also 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The one is a word of wisdom. One is a word of knowledge, where God will just show you something about somebody that you couldn't have known. The gift of faith, where you just supernaturally have faith for a specific situation. A gift of physical healing. Exactly what happened to Rizalda's mom. The gift of healing operated on that Sunday morning. Prophecy, a word for somebody, almost similarly to what Stephen had this morning. You know, he said, I feel there's people in here that God is waiting for you to come back. That's a word of prophecy. It could also be a word of wisdom. You know, where somebody just speaks a word and it releases something in somebody's heart. Speaking in tongues, it happens in our church. Also the interpretation of tongues from time to time. And the 9th one is discerning of spirits. Now all of those things, we don't always understand it with our mind. We can't always figure it out. But in a church where the pastoral gift is strong and is established, all of those gifts can happen. And people will not feel threatened because they would know that it is for the benefit of the people. They will feel safe. And this is our desire, that there will be space for all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we can pray for people who are sick, that somebody can bring a word, that there could be somebody bringing a word even in tongues, which, you know, we can't always understand, but then also an interpretation. And we can change our lives, but the foundation of all of that is the pastoral gift, where people feel safe, where they feel loved. It's like the pastor also facilitates 1 Corinthians 13. You know, where the Apostle Paul says, without love, we can speak in tongues, we can prophesy, we can have faith to move a mountain. But if there's not love, we might as well just not do it or not have it. So that the pastoral gift facilitates love between the members of a church and also outside of the church, so that all of these things that blows our mind a bit, that we can't always figure out, you know, how did Rizelda's mom get healed? We can't figure it out. We can't say, this is recipe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's do it again tomorrow. And now it doesn't work, and now, you know. God is so amazing, and if we walk in a relationship with Him, we're going to come across things that we don't always understand. We can't always figure out. But if the pastoral gift is strong in a church, those things can come, and it can come again, and it can come more and more and more, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and everybody will embrace it. Nobody will feel threatened. So I want to give you a few strengths of the pastor, and I want to encourage you also to try and identify which one of the fivefold ministry is your strength, or which one are you drawn to more than the others, because we need to confidently and boldly start walking in the gift that God has put inside of you. You know, sometimes we feel inferior, and especially the pastor gift sometimes could feel inferior, because your heart and your motivation is love for people. But now you get the prophet, and they do these prophecies, and they, you know, they deep, very deep. And you just want to love people. You just want to bake a cake and deliver it. You just want to bless somebody. You just want to go visit somebody when they're sick. This is your heart. But now you think, maybe this is not so awesome, you know, to have a pastoral heart, because the prophets, they look, you know, the teachers, they're so focused. They know the whole Bible. They read it through every year. You know, and you feel guilty almost from time to time to boldly flow in what God has given you. And this is why we need to find our strengths, even though we should pursue all five with all of our hearts. We should pursue it, but you should boldly walk in the one that God has gifted you with. So I'm going to give you a few strengths of a pastor. They raise up other pastors to look after the sheep. I know many of you firmly believe that the pastor must counsel everybody, must phone everybody on their birthday, and he must visit everybody who's sick. You know, I know some of you firmly believe that. However, if you get a person who counsels everybody and he visits everybody, he is pastoral, yes, but he's not flowing in the pastoral gift. A pastor is flowing in the gift of a pastor. He raises up other people to pastor with him, to pastor the sheep. He duplicates himself in other people. And what is so amazing to me, I mean, people often ask me and Andre, do we counsel a lot? Do we? And then I say, well, yes, from time to time, but not all the time, because the people in the church, they really take care of one another. I mean, I know many of you who have a pastor's heart. I know many of you look after other people with an intensity and a diligence and a, a loyalty that is just so amazing for me to see. But a pastor will raise up other pastors. All right, he will release a grace for people just to start walking in that gifting. They release a culture of honor. Bill Johnson, the senior pastor at Bethel, he says, a culture of honor is celebrating who someone is without stumbling on who they are not. So we celebrate somebody for who they are, but we don't stumble upon that which they are not. You know, because we often admire somebody and we celebrate somebody and then we come across something that we really don't like. And then it's almost as if that takes away everything we want to celebrate. It's as if all of a sudden, I don't feel like celebrating you anymore because look at this, I've just stumbled over something that is so ugly for me that, sorry, you know, the 80% that is awesome, you know, the 20% ugliness that I've just seen is just too much for me. So a culture of honor is celebrating somebody for who they are, but we're not stumbling over who they are not. This is easier said than done, but this is what a real culture of honor is. A pastor honestly cares for people in need, and they facilitate a kindness that can change a life forever. Just a kindness, a caring. By that, I don't mean that we should lie awake about every crisis. Okay, I had to learn that. The devil really wanted to convince me that if I don't lie awake about a certain problem or a person or a crisis, then I don't care, which is not the truth. It's not the truth. The devil wants us to worry. He wants to get us into a place of anxiety. And that is a trap many times for a pastoral heart. You start worrying about people and their problems. And that's not helping anybody. Okay? We need to learn to honestly care and be kind without lying awake. Because God is in control. We need to trust the Lord to come through for people. You know, it was so beautiful for me when with Melanie and Dylan and their baby, Leah, we prayed for them twice in church. And, you know, many of us have been involved to visit them. And I have a friend in church, Kuva, who, she's got a pastor's heart. She's one of the people in the church who really cares for people. And, you know, all the time with Leah, Kuva was, you know, keeping me informed. Sonika, I'm going to the hospital. I need somebody to come with me. So I said to her, I'm in. Okay, now we go. Now you're off to the hospital. But Kuba's like, okay, no. This is enough. I'm going to get people now together. We're now going to fast and we're now going to pray and we're going to go to their house. And I'm just so blessed by that. You know, I'm so blessed by her heart. I'm so blessed by just the ability to not only care, but to draw people in, to say, I care, but come, you're now going to care with me. You're now going to show kindness with me. I don't care if you're busy or if you don't want to, but here we go. And it's so powerful just to really care, you know, just to bring food for somebody in need. We have babies arriving in April. I lost track of how many are coming. So you must start getting your recipes ready, okay? We're going to make food like crazy. They're all coming like the one after the other. So start saving your money for those 2 weeks. But we need to cultivate just a culture in church where we honor it, you know? If somebody's in hospital or a family member is sick or where there's a crisis, that we on it, all of us. We need all hands on deck. But it's so our heart, you know, to whenever there's a need, whenever there's a crisis, that the person will be cared for. Because Andre and I can only do so much. We can really only do so much. But if we have all hands on deck, everybody will be cared for and covered. Pastors facilitate the gift of hospitality. People just feel special They just feel like a king in their house. You know, if you've ever been to Rion and Lee's house, okay, you'll know what I'm talking about. I think Andre and I have really stepped up our own hospitality standards, you know, since we know Rion and Lee. People like Kubis and Roselda, they have a gift of hospitality. There's lots of you like Cindy and Steve. You have a gift of hospitality. There's so many of you who just, it's in you. And it's amazing. And I want you, all of us, to embrace, to boldly embrace a culture of hospitality and generosity. It's so beautiful. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm just generous and hospitable, and it's not so cool, you know, compared to people who have these words from the Lord and they're intercessors and or they're worshippers. But I just, you know, want to cater for people and make them get their tummies full. And I remember when Andre and I got married, and I grew up with a poverty mentality, so, you know, I would, if we have guests, that's now 12, 13 years ago, if we have guests, I would prepare just enough food, you know, because nothing should be wasted. Then my husband said to me, it's not going to work like this. There must always be more than enough. So I had to learn that more than enough is good. You know, I was like, no, we can't waste anything. I would carefully work out how much I think the people are going to eat. And then I prepare according to that. And I've since changed a lot, you know, when it comes to spending money on food. That was for me like a complete waste, you know, spending money on food. But I've changed a lot. But I'm so inspired by all of you who are generous. I'm so inspired by all of you who are hospitable. It's such an inspiration for me. I learn from you. And I want to encourage all of you, if it's in you, go for it. If it's not in you, go and learn from somebody who has the gift of hospitality, you know. Do your filter coffee. You know, Andre and I never drink filter coffee, but now for our life group, Andre gets his filter coffee machine. And we learn from Rion, okay? Good coffee makes everybody happy, it seems. You know, I'm not a big coffee drinker. But now we never even make filter coffee for ourselves, maybe once in 3 months or something. But now he's ready with his filter coffee. So we have learned and we have grown, and I just want to encourage you to just go for it. Pastors would see potential and good in people that no one else can see. They would spot something beautiful in somebody that everybody just thinks, I want to stay away from you. But then the pastor would say, no, there's so much potential in this person. When I did the previous sermon I did about the teacher, I shared about my one boss in the Western Cape that I had to learn to honor him. And I said he was a screamer. And I felt very convicted after that, you know, when I said he was a screamer, even though he was. Now, I want to give you a perspective because I felt convicted. Because God gave me a sincere love for that man. He gave me a sincere respect for somebody that freaked me out. But God started showing me so many good things in him. You know, like he would literally phone everybody personally on their birthdays, the whole office. Whether you are first-year article clerk, whether you're the lady who makes tea, you would personally, if he doesn't have a chance to walk to you, he would phone you. Nobody else did that. He would be very generous with his teams, always blessing, always taking them out for lunch, really blessing. He had a generous heart. He had a heart for people that I didn't notice up until God opened my eyes. And yes, he had weaknesses, especially when he was under pressure. He would act, I believe, out of character. But so many people, me included, we accepted him as the person that he was when he was under pressure. and when he acted out of character, but God opened my eyes for the good things in him. And that is what God does when he gives you a heart of compassion and a pastoral heart. He would open your eyes for things in people that nobody likes the person, but you would, God would show you the beauty and the good qualities, because there's gold in everyone. It's easy to find dirt. We have learned that. Hey, it's so easy to find dirt. So easy to just find fault. But it's a gift to go and find the gold. And we need to dig and dig until we find gold. Because there's gold in everyone. So I just want to encourage you to walk in this with boldness. Let's say thank you more often. Let's celebrate each other more often. Let's bless and encourage. Let's honor one another more often. Let's use every opportunity to make somebody feel special. Let's go for it with boldness. Let's use every opportunity. You know, regardless of your spiritual gifting, maybe you think, I'm not really like this. I'll leave it to the pastors in the church, you know, the pastoral people. I'm not like this. Regardless of your spiritual strength or gifting, we all have to come to a place where we ask ourselves, do we love well? Do we really love well? Because it's the foundation of everything that we do. So I just want to touch on a few dangers of the pastoral gift in isolation. All of the fivefold are dangerous in isolation. The evangelist in isolation is very dangerous. The prophet in isolation is very dangerous. But so, the pastor in isolation. It could happen if there's only a pastoral gift in this church, that people will become extremely inwardly focused. We will form cliques. And if there's any new people coming in, we would be hesitant to make them part of our group if there's only a pastoral anointing, because that's a danger. We can be very inwardly focused if there's not also a heart for the lost, the heart of the evangelist. It's so necessary to have everything, to have the whole fivefold in the church. People can resist change. They can be very afraid of new things. You know, it's just all the sheep, let's just stick together, you know. Let's just fight for ourselves because these, you know, the world out there is dangerous. So we just need to all stick together. We never reach out. And we also negative about a prophetic gifting, for example. We're negative because, no, they're too deep. They're way too deep, you know. These people who prophesy and pray for 3 hours and worship, you know. No, I can't do that. So if you only have a pastoral gifting in the church, we will resist change. We will resist change. We will stagnate. We won't grow anymore. What can happen is the pastor can be very protective over the sheep. So instead of encouraging them to grow, you're so afraid that they're going to be offended or freaked out by new things that you just protect them all the time. So nobody grows and nobody learns anything new because, okay, let's just keep everybody together. Let's just keep everybody happy. And make sure that nobody gets offended or freaked out, okay? The people in the church can also manipulate the pastor. So if you have a pastor's heart, be aware that people can manipulate you because you have a heart for people. So if you want to please everybody, that's almost like a weakness. If you have a strong pastoral heart, you want to please everyone. You want to be there for everybody. And you feel guilty if you can't be there for everybody. This is not healthy. This is not of the Lord. Okay, so don't allow people to manipulate you if you have a heart for them. You can't please. We're not people pleasers. A pastor is not a people pleaser. He's obedient to God. All right, so if you are strong in the pastoral, beware that you don't get manipulated. A pastor can also draw people to himself instead of pointing them to Jesus. You might feel that you are an amazing pastor because everybody comes to you for counsel and pray. And in their need, they run to you. but it's not healthy. We have to point people to Jesus all the time. And yes, we do care. We are there for people in need. But in the long term, people must be pointed to God. You have to let go. It's almost like having a child in your home. You know, they must learn to eat by themselves. They must learn to dress themselves. They must learn. And this is what we have to facilitate as pastors, that people grow up in the Lord and they are strong themselves. We can't hear from God on behalf of other people all the time. Yes, you can confirm, you can pray with somebody, but we all need to learn to hear God's voice ourselves. And we can't be there for people all the time. Our primary source is Jesus and God. So a danger of the pastor gift is that we can draw people to ourselves instead of pointing them to Jesus. So if you're strong in the pastoral, just be aware of these things. Pastors need grace. They're very human, you know. Pastors also need to buy milk and bread. We also need to brush our teeth, like all of you. We need to do all these very human things. And we need grace. You know, and this is my personal opinion, but I think the local pastor has one of the toughest jobs in the whole fivefold ministry. Why? Because he must be everything for everybody. You know, when you go away and you preach somewhere else, everybody thinks you are this awesome guest speaker because you have your best jokes and your best stories. Because you preach there once and then you go home. And now back at home, people sit, think, oh, I've heard that one before. Oh, I'm so bored. You know, Andre, could you please? My husband's not boring, okay? Let me just tell you, I've heard pastors telling the same stories over and over and over. And I can't judge them, but my husband's not like that, okay? He says to me, Sonika, new. It must always be new. It must be fresh. We can't bore the people. If we're going to bore you, it's like sin almost for Andre, okay? So if you're bored, just let us know, because then we must repent. But I might bore you, but he will never bore you. But, you know, the people who are strongly prophetic feel, oh, the pastor is not deep enough, you know. And the teachers feel, no, but the word is not solid enough, you know. I can see that the pastor didn't prepare well for that sermon. You know, he's telling the same stories. We need solid word. You know, the evangelists feel, you know, doesn't the pastor have a heart for the lost? You know, where is his heart for the lost? We need to reach the people out there in the community. You know, even the pastors would judge the poor pastor because, you know, it doesn't seem as if he really cares for people. He's on his own mission, you know. And the pastor is under this massive pressure to be everything for everyone. And we need grace. We really need your grace. We're going to make mistakes. We are going to disappoint you. Maybe we have disappointed you already in the past. And I really just want to say this morning that if we have ever disappointed you or hurt you or offended you even, that I want to apologize, sincerely apologize on behalf of me and Andre. It's not our hearts. It's really not our hearts. We need your support. We need your prayers. We need your grace. And also, if there's other church leaders ever in the past who have disappointed you, because I know it happens, I want to apologize on behalf of them. If you have ever been hurt, disappointed, offended, been offended by another church leader from another church ever, I want to apologize on behalf of them. But I trust with all of my heart that this morning God is going to release a grace for us to forgive, a grace for us to truly come to a place of complete healing. When there's still something in our hearts towards any pastor or any church leader, you cannot, I want you to listen carefully now. You cannot fulfill your destiny if you sit with unforgiveness or if you sit with an offense towards a church leader. It's a very clever strategy of the devil to take you out of God's will. We're not in the will of God if we sit with unforgiveness and hurts and disappointments that is not dealt with. And I really trust the Lord that He's going to release us to forgive this morning. I'm almost done. You know, I have a kind of a special relationship with a pastor in this church. I spend more time with him. What is funny about this now? I spend more time with him than the average church member. And I know him well, okay? So I just want to let you know that he really loves you. He really cares about you. He's proud of you. He's proud of every bit of spiritual growth, every breakthrough that you have, every breakthrough that you have at work or in your family. It's not a job. It's not a job. And I know the devil is also very clever. You know, he wants to convince you that the pastor has got something against you, you know, especially if he doesn't greet you in Pick and Pay, you know. Andre didn't greet me in Pick and Pay. Can you believe it? He just walked straight past me. I'm sure he's got something against me. You know, it happened the other day as well. It happened twice. You know, or you just feel he phoned that one on his birthday because you heard it and now it doesn't phone you. So there must be, you know, some agenda, you know, from the pastor. Or, you know, we can't remember your name. You've been to church now for 3 months. And you still can't remember my name, really. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not, something wrong with me. Or, you know, let me tell you, the devil is very clever. He will use whatever, to bring lies and to bring division like that. So it's something we must all be aware of. There's a very clever agenda that the devil has to plant things in your head that is not the truth, especially against your pastor. It happens all the time. And you have to be aware of it. You have to be on it. You know, you have to kick it out of your mind and take authority over it as soon as it comes. All right? It will come. It will come. So, just to end off, I wanna use this opportunity just to thank all of you for who you are to us. You know, if you're not here, we might as well be an accountant, be an engineer, or I don't know, go look for something to do. But you are the church. You are the church, and I just want to thank you for your commitment, your heart for excellence, your loyalty. You're amazing. And we really love you and we appreciate you. All the volunteers, you know, the head ushers and the ushers, you know, come in on a Sunday, wash all your cups. We have a different strategy, okay? We're not going to wash cups anymore. Praise God. But I want to thank all the ushers, you know, all the people who's doing Kids Church. I so respect all of you on Kids Church, you know, who miss out on a sermon on a regular basis. You're amazing. We really appreciate you. The worship team, the sound guys, you know, they're practicing every Thursday. They come in 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. They don't get paid, for those of you who are wondering, you know, if we pay the musicians. They do it. You know, all of you just lay your lives down. The people who's operating the laptop, all of you, we love you. We appreciate you. And we just want to say thank you for who you are to us. You know, many people feel isolated in the ministry. Many pastors and their wives, they feel isolated. They feel alone. They don't have friends. We are not in that boat. God has blessed us with amazing people that we don't only call leaders, we call them friends. We call them friends, and we so appreciate that. So we just want to bless you for who you are, and thank you for everyone who's giving faithfully, who's contributing anything to this ministry. We appreciate you and we love you. So if you can stand with me this morning. I really feel in my heart that God wants to deal with our hearts this morning. So I really feel God wants to bring you today to a point where you can honestly from your heart forgive anything that has ever been done to you or has ever happened to you in the church, where you have been hurt or disappointed, especially in a leader, maybe even just in a fellow brother and sister where you got hurt and you're still not healed. You're still bitter, you're still angry, you still feel, you know, you can't get over it. And I feel today is the day. I've been praying for this and I've been trusting the Lord that today is the day where God is going to release a grace, where you will have a supernatural understanding of the situation, where God will give you perspective and He will help you to forgive. The Holy Spirit will help you to forgive. So if I can ask, if we can just all close our eyes. And I know it might be difficult for some of you, but we have to respond. We have to respond. Okay, so I want to ask you this morning, if you have ever been disappointed or maybe even unjustly treated, in your opinion, by a church leader, even if it's 10 years ago, even if it's 15 years ago, and you still feel in your heart that it's still hurting, you're not through it, you're not at a place where you can truly love and bless that person, I want you to quickly raise your hand and I want you to be bold, okay? Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you for those hands. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Father God, I just pray for a release of your grace, for healing this morning, God, for healing for our hearts, healing to respond, God, to your soft and gentle spirit that can bring healing. Lord, I release a grace for people to receive healing this morning, for their hearts, for their emotions, and for everything that has ever happened in the past. So I bless you, God. I bless you for your faithfulness. I bless you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence here, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence, God. Just feel that there's truly an anointing for God to heal hearts right now. So just open your heart wide. Let's just give the Lord a few moments. Just open your heart. Just say, God, come and heal me. Just speak to the Lord. Say, bring your situation before God. Whatever has ever happened to you in terms of church that has hurt you, just bring it before the Lord. Just say, God, I open my heart. I receive your healing. I receive your healing by faith. You have to receive it by faith. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. You have to receive it by faith. Just say this after me. God, I open my heart and I receive my healing by faith. I walk by faith. And not by sight, not by feeling, but I fix my eyes on you. And I receive grace to forgive. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Pray, Lord, that you'll have your way in our midst, Lord. Have your way in our midst, in Jesus' name. We worship you.